everyone, and welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 458. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel. And this week, I am joined by the one, the only, the inimitable door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin. Hey, Steve, how you doing, brother?
In typical fashion, I'm just almost to the point of being busy to where I don't know. But at the same token, enjoying my naps when I can take them. So I'll say I'm in a perfect state of zen for what I would call my personal universe.
You know, any day with a nap in it's a good day.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But I kind of cheated. My son had a doctor's appointment today, so I took off work all day because my wife and me carpool. I'm not paying double toll going in late, paying double gas because of going late. Just stay home.
Well, my wife had a very similar thing. My oldest child turned 14 in October, and we went to schedule her annual checkup, and they said, oh, the nearest thing we have is end of January. So it was at like 11 a.m. today. It pretty much just ruins the whole day at that point. So she decided, I'm just not going, and I don't blame her.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been utterly tactical with these things. It's kind of like you're tactical with your spreadsheet creation. I think I've been utterly tactical about these things, and I now have it down to when either my kids have an appointment, I do everything in my power to push it as far back to like 3:30 p.m. as possible, just because then it's just early enough in the day that I can't take off work early with the wife and make her come home because she has to get a whole day's work. So it's just then that borderline of almost being late enough, but it's also late enough to where I can sleep in a little bit and then wake up and go pick them up.
Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah, I like to believe I'm the Hannibal of taking naps. I'm like the leader of the A-teams when it comes to taking naps.
I thought maybe you involved elephants and mountains. Different Hannibal.
Different Hannibal, yes.
Well, I've been working, as my job often does, it requires me to work offsite. In the last week and a half, the reason I wasn't here last week is I've been working 60 miles from my house.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me guess. You're 60 miles away on any other part of the planet Earth would be roughly an hour away. I'm going to guess and say 5.5 hours away.
Well, both ways. Yeah, it's 2 to 2.5 hours each way. Right. So,
And that's too much to devote. Yeah, no, not doing that.
So I've been spending 4 hours a day in the car plus the, 12-hour work days. So I apologize for not being here last week, but I literally last week I came home, I ate something, I went to bed. I got up, I went to work, I came home, I ate something, I went to bed every day last week.
I can't believe your work wouldn't offer to give you a hotel more local to the place.
Well, occasionally that offer has been made. In this case, it's not their fault where I choose to live. But there was a thing a couple of years ago where we were putting in, we were working 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And it was 50 miles away. And they were like, yeah, just get a hotel. But most of the times I would rather just do the agony and sleep in my own bed. I find that being a Texan, I seem to have some sort of driving gene that people from other states don't have. And we just grew up in a culture where everything is a long way away. I mean, I've literally in my life driven 6 hours for a steak dinner. And you tell that story to any Texan and they're like, well, that makes sense. Sounds about right. But yeah. You talk to somebody in Rhode Island, and they're like, that's a weekend trip.
Yeah. I feel the same way about, in Maryland, we talk about eating 2 dozen crabs, and other people are like, what? What do you mean? What? How? You mean what? How? And no, you sit there and pick the crab, and you drink the beer, and you eat the crab. Everybody in Texas I know, literally anything under 4 hours driving is absolutely nothing. And everything over 4 hours, well, you just better be getting a good deal where you're going kind of thing. Like, you better have a coupon to go to Harbor Freight to offer that extra amount of time. And it's only because I think Texas is so flat. It's just unbelievably flat. We're here, I drive 3 miles, and I'm from a cushy neighborhood where, people drink their tea to the next door place to mine. It's literally less than a mile and a half down the road. It's called Edgewood. You stop in the gas station and you'll have a young hoodlum say to you, hey man, if you rearrange the letters of Edgewood, it spells good weed. And it just makes you want to hurry up and leave the gas station.
That's good to know.
Yeah, I mean, in here, everything is close. Sometimes too close.
Yeah, I think, you know, different people, different cultures adjust to that. Like, you know, Americans have the biggest space bubble of any developed country. You come within about 18 inches of an American face-to-face, and that's too close. Side-to-side, we can take a little more. But you go to places like, you know, India where and China, where population is a big thing. We just adapt to where we are. And if you grow up all your life with humanity pressed around you, that's what you think is normal. Here in, you know, in Texas, we grew up with our nearest neighbor 2 miles away. We think that's normal.
Right.
I don't know how we got on that, but oh yeah, driving and me not here. So anyway, my whole point is glad to be back. Eric is not with us. He is feeling poorly, and we are sorry for that, Eric.
Let's get it right. His nervous system is perfectly okay, and his sense of touch is perfectly fine. He's just almost like unconscious walking around. It's like a flu, a stomach bug or something. Yeah. I told him, rest up, drink plenty, and whatever you do, drink plenty of liquor. At least that's what I do.
That's how that goes, right? Feed a cold, drink a fever. That's how that works.
I'm kind of Irish. It's drink both of them. Drown them both. That's what it is.
Drown a cold, drown a fever.
Yeah.
Whiskey up a bad back.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I see hardware.
I actually do have hardware and stuff, but it's really not Android hardware, but it halfway is. This device has been available now for, I want to say, almost a year. It was a Kickstarter about a year ago called a Boogie Board Sync. BOOGIEBORD. Very, very flat piece of hardware. Good battery. I believe it says it can last for something like 16 days or something. Not a lot of fancy tech to it. You basically power it on, powers on in like 3 seconds, connects via Bluetooth to my phone. I got a pen, has e-ink. I can basically draw on the page. I can see what I can draw on the page. I can then hit like save, and it will save it as a image to my phone instantaneously. It's a one-way device. All you can do is draw and sync to the phone, draw and sync to the phone. There's no pulling up old sheets back onto the device. There is no editing of a sheet once you've saved it on the device. It's just draw on the device or notes on the device and hit send, and it basically saves it onto your phone. And I got it on sale for, I want to say, $64.
From looking at the video, I remember when you brought this originally, and I'm watching the video at their website now. And it's a very low contrast. It's like gray on black drawing at that.
Yeah, and that is the number one complaint that they say the next device is going to do better. But on this device, it is definitely like Kindle-ish in the sense of two different shades of gray. But to me, it's a little bit worse than a Kindle because, like you said, it's black and dark gray.
It's Etch-a-Sketch-ish.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say it isn't. In most light, it's pretty visible. I'll say that. It's once you get into low light, it is absolutely impossible to read.
Yeah, it's a one-trick pony, and that trick is not anything I care for.
It was so cheap, Mark. I said, I might really like it. I might really enjoy it. I might really turn a corner in my life and next year release a book. Might become a writer. Might just sit in my backpack, and I might never pull it out. I'll say this then. I am going to start a new show here shortly, and that's all I'm going to say about that right now. But when I do, it's not going to be an Android show. It's not going to be a Linux show. It's not going to be a mini PC show. It's going to be more of a random show. And I think this would be the kind of thing perfectly fitted to give away on a random show. So if you're a fan of a Boogie Board Sync and you've always wanted one, when we announce a new show, go give it a listen and you might win it.
What percentage of your annual budget is your gadget budget? It's got to be huge.
I actually don't want to calculate it. In the same sense, okay, 2 weeks ago at work, guys at work never make up their mind. I honestly think it's everywhere you go. When there's a group of people that go out for lunch a lot, they never know where they're going until they're in their car and they're already on their route because they always, I don't care. One day I said, okay, well, let's go to this place. It's called Furnished Branch Carryout. because I knew there was nobody in the group that was at all bougie. They were all completely function over form kind of people. You know what I mean? So I said, the food's good. It doesn't look like it's very eyesore. It's not a pretty place. Okay. We walk in, the tile you can tell has been there for 30 years. You know what I mean? It's been worn out. And their chairs and their tables are a hodgepodge of different things that they've picked up throughout the years. And we walk in, and a Korean guy about age 35, 40. And he says, hey, Steve, how you doing? Haven't seen you in about 10 years. And yes, he's right. He hasn't. But before I got married, I was spending, me and my wife figured it out, more than $3,000 a year in that place. Because I would stop there once in a while to get breakfast. I was hooked on sweet Southern style tea, and they had pretty good shrimp cheesesteaks and hamburger subs. So, you know,
every day, huh?
Yeah.
So but then I had to stop. While we're on that subject, this may be an addict from the favorite. In fact, I may have heard about it from this show. I don't remember, but I have that same problem, not only at work, but also at church. My friends get together after church. We can't decide where to go. And so I use an app on my Android phone called My Decision Wheel. And you load up your favorites of whatever, and you have multiple categories. So you set a category, and you populate that category with items. And then it's just like a Wheel of Fortune style wheel. You tap it, and it randomly picks something. So problem solved with My Decision Wheel.
The question is, though, is there, do you know of, because you know, I mean, everybody finds their own little niche to complaining, and where I work at, it's a government institution, which means everybody complains about something. It's just a question of what. Is there a minimum or maximum number of places you can put on here?
8 per wheel is the max. I don't know about the minimum.
8 max is perfectly fine, but it, as long as it can handle as low as 2 or 3, I think that works as well.
Well, if it's 2, just flip a coin.
Well, no, but then when we're driving in the car, it's really hard to catch that coin sometimes.
Because like think I of said, a number nobody, between 1 and 2.
I know, but like, and then nobody wants to pick. I mean, it's just difficult. I literally, most of the time, go to lunch with them when I can, just to get the hell out of the building. We could literally just drive around for 10 minutes and I'd be just as satisfied. You know what I mean? But so now we got this, because I'm going to use this. I'm not going to lie, because I'm the guy who always says, no, I don't care. I really don't care. We could go from Taiwanese to tacos to bacon burgers to fish and chips. I don't care. Salads, endless pizza. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Yeah. Very good. I'm going to have to definitely keep this in my wheelhouse. Wah, wah.
And so I just tested it. You can load as few as 2 items on it. But it's an 8-thing wheel with 2 things on it. So you may do some spinning before you hit one of them.
That's okay. We'll have to call them like the ones, because it isn't even worth typing in Walmart. So that'd be like Walmart, you know, because our Walmart has little food places in them.
Right. There you go. My first app of the night. And it solves a problem too.
Okay. Well, my first app of the night, I'm going to guess creates problems and doesn't solve any real problems, because as far as social networks are concerned, there's no such thing as solving a problem. Social networks are the cesspools of everything, because they always go to the lowest common denominator. It seems like all of them, any of them, every one of them. But this one at least has a couple of taglines that I like. It's called MeWe, MeWe. And I do believe it's MeWe.com, MeWe.com. It is. It says, first off, we will never have any ads of any sort on our service ever. Number 2, we will never give or sell your information away to anybody forever. They do have a paid, okay, this is the one rumor we kept hearing about Facebook. In order to make money, you're going to have to pay for your account kind of thing. There is a paid service with MeWe. The only thing you get extra for paying is the ability to have end-to-end secure communication and not just in the free and clear communication. So it really is, you get everything in the network for free, unless you want to have the encrypted tunnels of chats. And the chats can be voice clip chats or sound clip chats. all in the same chat, text chat, image chat, gift chat, Snapchat style chat of the me selfie pictures that self-destruct, or we pictures facing out that self-destruct, or just normal images that never self-destruct. So to me, it's kind of a combination of a normal social network, Facebook or Google Plus, in combination with a Snapchat-ish kind of feature. And it's also trying to pull in a little bit of that Voxer / Discord voice chatting thing all into one application.
And just to give you a hint of the kind of people using it, JHU gives it 5 stars, says, it's not Facebook. Facebook, 5 stars. And Bonnie McDonough says, screw Facebook, 5 stars. So there you go.
Well, and this is my honest-to-goodness, Mark. Honest-to-goodness, most straightforward, logical justification to go to this for me, and I am on it, I am doing stuff on it, it's not Google. Google thrives on information, collecting information, disseminating information, sorting information, you know, kind of thing. Facebook is filled. The number one largest growing segment on Facebook for over a year is over 50 or 55 years old, something like that, AKA lots of grandparents on Facebook. I don't care if somebody found an original reel of All in the Family from 1967. While it's a funny show and Carol O'Connor's quite a actor, I don't care. I don't want to see it in my social feeds. So I'm okay with going to a more geeky, nerdy social platform, especially if they talk less about politics, because the only way to ensure destruction and arguments is to either talk about religion or politics.
And if you talk about religious politicians, it's all on.
Yeah. Now, just a quick tangent. One of the funniest things I saw today, because it's like the Barbara Streisand effect. You know what the Streisand effect is, Mark, right?
Yes.
Okay. Trump getting elected, supposedly over 400 scientists in the last month have put their name into political races in the last month, which to me is like the exact counter effect from Trump getting elected. If it's true, I think it's funny. If it isn't true, I still think it's funny.
So just because people might not know what the Streisand effect is, the quick synopsis is the more you try to make people not think about something, the more that's all they can think about. So that it's called the Streisand effect from a movie. Can't remember. Not looking at it, I don't remember why.
No, because Barbara Streisand herself, there were pictures of her house on some website.
That's what
and
it was.
She went crazy and told her lawyers, get the website shut down, get it shut down. Before they did something, the pictures only had something like 20 views on them. The next week, two weeks after her lawyers did this, there were like 2 million views on the picture. So, you know, it was like the exact opposite of the intention. I don't know. I will encourage people, if you want to at least go with a social platform that says they respect your privacy, whether they do or not, it's not me. I'm not a security expert. I'm not running scans on these servers. I don't have access to their databases. I do not have access to their corporate offices. I have no idea if they're actually caring about your privacy or it's just a tagline. But I'll say at least it's a tagline. In Google Plus, they don't tell you anything about caring about your privacy. On Facebook, they don't tell you anything about caring about your privacy. On Twitter, they don't tell you about anything about caring about your privacy. At least these people say it.
It's true. Have you heard the rumors that Google Plus may be getting a second life, that Google is suddenly re-interested in it again?
I heard something like a week ago how they're doing some kind of attention toward it, to which I say, I know the web interface changed for a lot of people in last week, and they're complaining incessantly, to which they're like posting things, hashtag change it back. No, get off of that's like me complaining about it's out of your control. Google doesn't care what you think. If you don't like the way the service looks, don't complain. Don't start a hashtag click activism thing. Get off of it. Go outside. Water your plants.
What was it, 3 or 4 years ago when everybody was whining about the white space? There's too much white space in the interface.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I know. Well, to me, it's the kind of thing, no matter what, people are going to complain. Me I'm literally to the point now, I'm too tired to complain about these things. I have better things to do. Even if the better thing is literally, you know, cooking a turkey breast in my crock pot for my wife. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's better. Yeah.
All right. What's the next app you have for us tonight?
But yeah, really quick before I forget, I didn't say this. MeWe by MeWe does have some sort of in-app purchases, which I have no idea what it is because, again, I never ran across it. 1,380 reviews, free to install, 4.1 average reviews, between 100,000 and 500,000. It does say it has a teen rating because, you know, people can say stuff in social platforms. Current version 5.3.0, updated January 6th, 2017. So it is being updated.
And it's Mattermost and Slack and a million other things where you create your own private social network.
Yeah, and it has like the Snapchatty feature of disappearing pictures, which I don't really care about. Okay, now we're gonna, you know, Mark, I once in a while, aka sometimes 9 out of 10 apps, sometimes 1 out of 10 apps, I gotta go nostalgia because I am indeed old.
Just looking at this link, before I even click it, I'm afraid because I know the developer always sucks me in. This developer has sucked more of my life away than the six-fingered man.
And I was hoping you didn't realize that until you clicked, Mark, because the developer is Noodle Cake Studio. And anybody out there, if you've never heard of Noodle Cake Studio, well, you actually have. You just didn't realize it. If you go look at all the apps that they've done, they've literally done Super Stickman, Altos at a Venture, The Blockheads, Flappy Golf 2, on and on, Punch Quest, Pumped BMX. I guarantee you look through all their apps, and I guarantee you've probably played 2 or 3 at least of their apps. Yeah, it goes on and on and on and on. My Lord. Okay, this app though is called Real Myst, and the Myst is spelled MYST. So it's Real MYST, all one word, by again Noodle Cake Studio, top developer T for Teen. It is $7, and I think it's $7 only because it's brand new. The real diehards will buy it, and then in a couple weeks they will drop the price. I guarantee it. It is Noodle Cake. Average 4.5 reviews, only 33 reviews. Installs between 1 and 5. That tells you right there how new this is. Current version 1.3, updated January 26th. Content rating: teen violence and blood. Here's the gimmick: it's the old game Myst redone. And if anyone from the days of computing back in, you know, I guess it was around 95, 97, it was one of the original point and click adventures, but its most appealing thing was how graphically and how visually pleasing it was compared to a lot of the other games back then. Looking at it today, it looks like an upgraded Minecraft, you know, just a notch above Minecraft or two notches above Minecraft kind of thing. But I encourage, if you are the Myst person, that you love the game Myst, you remember playing it, you have that old-time feeling about how good it was, then you need to check out Real Myst. And I'm pretty sure it will spark all those memories all over again. And then if you're like me, you put it in your little watch list, and, you know, 2 weeks to 6 weeks or 8 weeks, they'll have it on sale for like 10 cents or 20 cents, and then you buy it then.
Yeah, so Myst, I remember 94, 95, that era was, it was the game everybody had to have. I ran my own computer business back in those days, and I bought a bunch of copies of Myst to sell to my customers, and I still probably have a couple of them in a storage case somewhere. And it was, strikes me about this is 95, 96, the top-of-the-line computers were about the same as your average Android phone today, spec-wise. And it says here that the game is 700 megs, so that's about the same size as would fit on a CD back then. Yep. So this pretty much is the game, just now available on the computer you used to have, but now it's in your pocket. And I'm going to probably offend some people here when I say this, but I hated that game.
I played it once for 30 seconds, and I said, why do people like this game? To me, it just had no draw because it was just so slow.
It was just a click and discover. What does this do? Well, let's click every square inch of the screen and see what happens.
Right. But then sometimes you have to click B before A and then C, and the certain order of clicking was necessary. To me, it was the kind of game I could watch somebody else play and talk to them as they're playing, and I thought it was okay, but I never once got to play it. And they do say that the graphics are actually slightly bumped up from the original graphics.
Of course.
So it's a port, but it's a slightly upgraded port is what I'm going to say.
That's funny. One of the comments says, we'd like it to work with the Xbox Bluetooth controller. Why?
Yeah.
So that you can click with buttons? Whatever.
Nice. Okay, the next one I got to bring out, it's for the diehards. Now, really quick, Mark, I will say this. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to over 80 podcasts now. I want to say it's 89 podcasts. I was really, really happy when I heard like two other Android podcasts taking 10, 15 minutes out of their show and talking about the Nintendo Switch. That proved to me something. And what it really proving is that the Android game ecosystem is going to see a genetic switch here in the next year. We're going to see a certain amount of less games coming out on Android. And we're going to see games being released at the same time on the Nintendo Switch and Android. And the reason I can say that is because more than a couple games that I know are Android games announced that they're coming out on the Switch. There is a game coming out February 2nd that's going to be on the Switch that's going to come out on Android and iOS at the same time. But the Nintendo portable people really want their Pokemon. And there's a new game out. I don't even know how installable it is in American phones yet, to be honest. It says it's compatible with all my devices. So that's good. It's called Pokemon Duel, and it's by the Pokemon Company. Okay. Now, with that said, really quick, people, anytime you download anything with heavy name recognition, like Super Mario Run, and when your buddy sends you that link to go and play Super Mario Run on your Android phone, well, maybe you shouldn't, because it's not even out yet. So always look at the developer on it. This is by the Pokemon Company, which there is a separate company outside of Nintendo that owns Pokemon. Top developer, E for everyone, 19,000 reviews, 3.3 average reviews, installs 500,100, between 500,000 and 1 million, updated January 24th, current version 3.0.0. I can tell you, this is a very new app. They're just revving it like crazy because they know how ridiculously dedicated Pokemon people are. They want to play it now. So they've got a lot of catch up to do. And I've had two guys who used to do a Pokemon podcast called the Pocket Cast, the Pocket Gamer Cast. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. Now they're doing the Switch Cast. And you can just Google search the Switch Cast, all one word. And they gave me this app and they said that this is the real thing. And this is a lot of fun and it's helping them, pass the time until, March 3rd when the Nintendo Switch, comes out.
I'm sorry. I was just napping there while you talked about Pokemon.
It is a Pokemon thing. I also will say, Mark, I don't think I ever played more than 30 seconds of any Pokemon game. And I mean, I'm the guy that played Dragon Quest, the original Dragon Quest on NES. I played Ultima Exodus, Ultima Quest for the Avatar. I played all those old school games. But then when I saw Pokemon, I looked at it on Game Boy and said, no, I'd rather play Street Fighter or something else. You know, but there is obsessive Pokemon fans out there. And this is definitely, it has to make them happy is my logic.
So Christmas Eve, my family's out doing our Christmas Eve tradition of driving around and looking at neighborhood Christmas lights. And the kids are all in their jammies in the back of the minivan. I'm driving and we're oohing and aahing. And my oldest in the back keeps saying, hey, slow down just a second. Oh, can we go back and go back there for a minute? And I thought, well, she's really into this. And then I realized, no, she's playing the Pokemon game, Pokemon Go. And she wants me to go back because she missed the thing and she wants me to slow down. So, yeah.
Okay. One of the things I saw, which is really funny, was Michelle Obama was pushing for this healthy stuff and get out and do your exercising. And people were saying Pokemon Go has done more for kids' health than Michelle Obama did in 8 years.
This is true.
I do think there is some truth to it. I will say that. Unfortunately, it always supersedes on things when parents don't want it to. You know, I would say it could be worse, Mark.
I mean, that was a way to get my, you know, moody, broody teenager into the spirit of the event. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. What I want to bring next, Mark, let me think. Eeny, meeny, miny, hey, mo. This was a link, I want to say it was from possibly Todd Evans in the Google Android App Addicts channel. And this is a endless runner. That's what I'm going to say up front. It's called Sky Dancer by Pine Entertainment. E for everyone. No fee, I believe. Let me just hit that. Okay, yeah. No fee. Does have some sort of in-app purchase. Again, I don't see even when it tells me to buy something. 8,300 reviews. 4.3 average reviews. Updated January 26th between 100,000 and 500,000 install. Version 1.1.2. This is one of those games that have simpler than average graphics, but really does just look good and runs really smooth. There is a video for it in the store. Basically, you're running on these floating platforms, and then you can go from the middle to the right to the left of the platform. You can jump, and then when you're in the air, you can go left or right in the platforms. So imagine yourself on a platform hundreds and thousands of miles above the Earth's atmosphere. And then you're slowly, one platform at a time, coming down. And each jump down really, to me, looks like almost like 100 feet jump down off of the platform. I did have some fun with this game, but I'm really not an endless runner kind of guy, so I just had a little bit of fun with it. Yeah, saw it. You're aiming for the sun. Okay, yeah, fun, and then uninstalled.
It's pretty.
Yeah, and it changes colors. Like one stage is like orangish, yellow. Next stage is reddish. Then it goes to bluish, and you know it keeps changing colors. So it really did look good.
I've had dreams like this. Seriously, the running and the jumping and the falling and this could be a manifestation of one of my dreams. I don't know what that says about me, but it's a thing.
I'm sure it means something. But I'm Irish and my last name is McLaughlin. I'm not German with the last name of Freud. So I really can't be any assistance whatsoever. I'm going to throw out another quick game, Mark. This one I just saw. It's right now on sale for 99 cents. I believe it was $3.99. So if you're listening to this live, you can still get it. It's called In Between by Head Up Games, T for Teen. Top developer, 903 average reviews, 4.2 average rating, current version 1.1. Updated January 26th, again. Installs between 10,000 and 50,000 installs. Content rating, teen, alcohol reference, mild fantasy violence, strong language, and more. They say teen, I say mature teen rating kind of thing. But this is a very beautiful platforming game. This is the kind of thing I really do encourage people to go watch the video for it. The video beauty alone in the graphics, to me, it's, I don't want to say unique graphics, but I really haven't seen graphics like this before that I can remember. The graphics alone made me buy it. I almost don't care about the mild violence and the language or anything. I just thought it looked good enough to buy.
And they tout some awards on their website. Best of 2014. Best second place 2013. So apparently the game has been around on other platforms for some time. Or maybe it's been on Android and just nobody knows about it.
Right. Or it's one of those things that were on iOS for years and now just getting around to being on Android. I don't know.
Yeah, I do like the visual aesthetic of it a great deal. Just watching the video, I can't really get a sense of the gameplay. It's a combination puzzle. It's endless runner type thing from the looks of it.
Well, it's what they call it, a puzzle platformer, with a lot of physics going on. You can on the fly change gravity to be going up, going down, going right, going left. And that's the main mechanic to it. There's a lot of jumping, sprinting, and timing, and there is a lot of puzzle aspects to it too. Yeah. Hard to classify is what I think.
And I mean, it's interesting to me. It's kind of Portal-ish in the puzzle aspect of it, at least from just watching the video of it. It's worth a try for 99 cents for sure.
Yeah, and I do think this is the kind of game on a larger screen. You might actually enjoy it a little bit more, kind of thing. Okay. Here was one I thought we actually got from one of our chat patronees, SCJ643. I believe he's the guy that sent me this link originally. Since then, I had one or two other people ping me on it, tell me I had to look at it. It's called Flick 2 Share Fast, and it's spelled FLIKTU Share Fast by Moss Raven Productivity App. E for everyone, 99 cents to buy. I have seen it go on sale every now and then. 389 reviews, 4.5 average reviews, current version 1.2, updated November 10th, 2015, aka I don't really know if it needs an update. Between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. This is almost like a, okay, it wants to replace your share menu. So when you hit share, you can make it go to this permanently. It tries to automate a little bit more the processing of sharing on Android. I still use AndMade Share, which I don't think has been updated since like 2013. I might actually hop on this one for one feature alone, Mark. I copy and paste a lot of stuff. You copy stuff and then you can just shake your phone. So it will take whatever's in the clipboard and it will initiate a share to from that. So then you just copy it in your clipboard, shake your phone, then hit Google Plus, and voila, you created a posting with whatever was in your clipboard. It might be gimmicky, but I honestly like that feature.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I guess I just don't share that much. I'm not seeing the value of this for me, but the combination of, you know, flip gestures and using the accelerometer for that is novel. And it looks like it adaptively learns the things you use most often. So interesting, I guess.
Yeah, I'll say that's what everything tries to say. If you use this more, we'll put this up higher on the list. So that's really not a special feature. It's a nicety, but I find myself on any device I'm at, the first thing I do is I get rid of that default share menu. You say you don't share much. I can say very honestly, Mark, my average day, if I had an app that could share, that could count the number of times I shared, I'd be shocked if it's below 70 times. It's just how I roll, I guess, is what I'd say. Find something cool on Google, boom, share it out to Voxer. Find something that my kid might like, boom, share it out to a text message to him or a Voxer message to him. You know, see something that is cool for a 3D printing thing, I can share it out to MeWe 3D Maker group kind of thing. I some people say I overshare, but it's not in that kind of overshare.
Well, you know, you wouldn't have taken over the vast Podnuts empire if you were not one who thought sharing was important.
Well, it's one of those things, honestly, I can't stop once I start. I'm going to throw another game out there, and it was because my kid loved this one. And this is one of those ones, it's old, it's been out there a while, I know that. But I say my kid just discovered it, is what I'm going to say. Octodad Deadliest Catch from Young Horses. Everyone, E10 and up. 99 cents to buy. 2,772 reviews. 4.3 average rating. Updated July 5th, 2016. Between 50,000 and 100,000 installs. Don't even have a version number on it. Wow. Okay. I don't know how to classify this, Mark, except this is stupid in the same sense of Goat Simulator. Yes.
Goat Simulator.
Simulator. it's stupid in the same kind of sense as that is stupid. My kid just chuckled and laughed hysterically while playing this game. And I guess it's a game. That's what I'm going to say.
I don't know. Octodad on a Segway made me chuckle.
Yeah. I just say this to me perfectly defines just how out of touch I am. And if you keep going, one of the scenes that I think is pretty funny, besides Octodad mowing the lawn, is Octodad playing air hockey.
Yes.
In what looks like almost a classic arcade.
Yeah, so it's basically that ragdoll physics that's so popular in Android games. But, you know, why have a guy with only two arms and legs when you can have an octopus? And you're just moving him around. So, and trying to stay away from the chef who likes calamari?
I guess. I don't know. I know it was actually kind of popular on Steam for a while. I don't know. I guess people like ink, maybe? Something?
It's a thing. Okay, moving on. And there is a free version of it. Never mind. It was right beside it. I thought it said Octo, but it was never mind. So just ignore the last 5 seconds of this. Door, next app, please.
Okay. I had somebody else try to make me throw away all my time because they know me kind of thing. They saw a game called Paper Wings, and they said it's in the thing, it said something like combination of origami and Endless Runner. It's called Paper Wings by Phil Games, F-I-L Games, E for Everyone, completely free to install, 7,991 reviews, 4.6 average reviews, updated January 3rd, 2017, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs. It's just a simple game of, you have a paper plane, aka, but it's a bird, and you basically have to fly back and forth to collect the like coins falling from the top of the screen. But there is some physics involved too, where you can, if you're good at this, you can perform some pretty cool looking combinations, if you will. But it's very simple. One side of the screen you tilt makes you rotate one way, tap the other side of the screen, you rotate the other way. If you go upside down, your bird will flip and become right side up automatically. So all you basically do is fly from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen, from the right side of the screen to the left side of the screen, picking up coins. Yeah.
All right.
Not a lot to it. Just me think very pretty and simple. And it was clean enough to where I gave it to my kids and I told them, how many can you get? They did okay, is what I would say. They did okay.
Okay. All right, this is 9. One more, so we hit our 10 for the show.
Okay, and what I did on this last one was I revisited one of my early addictions that I brought back a show or two before. This is another game. That game was called True Skate. This one is called Skater.
Is it smooth and steezy?
I'm not going to ever repeat those words, Mark. It is smooth. I'm not gonna say steezy. This is a Skater by the Skater team, E for Everyone. The in-app purchases, I believe, is basically different pictures on your skateboard. 2,600 reviews, $4.99 to buy. Again, put this on your wish list and then you can buy it later kind of thing when it comes down in price. 3.8 average reviews. January 6, 2017 was the last date of update, between only 10,000 and 50,000 installs. Current version 1.6.0.8, which, okay, the low number of installs tells me that they do not lower the price too often. In a little bit of a way, this game was slightly easier than the last skateboarding game, and I think it was only because they actually had pictures of your feet on the skateboard. And for some reason that made at least part of it to me a little bit simpler. The hook with this game is they take some old school classing skate stops and they put them in the game. So if you ever watched the Bones Brigade, and if you even know who the Bones Brigade are, you know, you're already ahead of the game for a lot of the other listeners. If you ever watched the Bones Brigade, they would go skate at certain parks. And it became like iconic if you could, you know, make it down these, you know, 25 stairs and jump and not fall and hurt yourself. So those stairs are in this game. Other places that were on covers of magazines back in the day are in this game as well. This game was a little bit easier, and so I would say a touch bit more fun, but it was the kind of thing where after playing with it for an hour, I didn't see anything else left for me to do on the game. You know, you can advance through the levels, and yeah, you're basically doing the same thing, just at a different place. Yeah.
So it's the same five or six tricks, just different settings.
It's the same, I'd say, 10 to 15 tricks where you can combo them, to make different combos, go for higher scores like the old Tony Hawk game. But yes, you're essentially just in the same area. There's only so much things you can really do. You can have fun. You can try to tweak it out and eke out some crazy combos if you want. This is really only for the diehard skaters, what I'm going to say.
But it looks interesting. For me, walking across the room is enough of a challenge that putting wheels on my feet was never something I wanted to do. So I really think these games, nostalgia is not the right word. They tap into a mindset, an ethos, a style, a lifestyle. And it's the gameplay then becomes secondary or even less important because it's all about the lifestyle. That's just my outsider's impression of this game.
Anti-disestablishment terrorism, maybe? I don't know. Something like that. I will say I was never a team sport kind of guy, and I think I'm okay with that.
All right, so there you go. We have 10 apps. Let me review them for you. My Decision Wheel by Paul J. James. MeWe by MeWe. Real Mist by Noodle Cake Studios. Pokemon Duel by The Pokemon Company. Sky Dancer by Pine Entertainment. In Between by Head Up Games. Flick 2 by Moss Raven. Octodad by Young Horses. Paper Wings by Phil Games. And Skater by The Skater Team. 10 apps, good and true. Pretty game heavy this week, but a couple of productivity ones and whatever you might call My Decision Wheel.
The Fresh Maker?
Sure. It's two men's in one. So I guess there's nothing left to say, but say, email. Well, that's not working. Send messages to Dor on Google Plus until he gets the email working. Or you can email me, mark@elementop.com. I will, forward the things on and be the curator of the emails. You could also, contact Dor on, he's everywhere, man. Really, seriously, you just search Door-to-Door Geek in your favorite browser. Just bring up Bing and search Door-to-Door Geek and you're going to find him. But the most important place to find him is, of course, on Patreon, where you can throw money at him for the amazing stuff that he does. I talked earlier, you know, he is the sharer in chief of, you know, the podcast network and beyond. And patreon.com/androidappaddicts is a way where you can stand up and be counted. It's not always about the money. Sometimes it's just about saying, hey, I really like this thing, and I think you might too. Any other words of wisdom or snide remarks, Dor?
No, this is the part of the shows I hate on other podcasts where the host and co-host just keep spooning each other, talking about how great they are and how you can visit me at this website and that website. I'll just say we haven't had a new Patreon now, I think, for a couple months. And I understand with the holidays, not getting them, but the holidays are kind of over.
That excuse is done, people.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And I'll say now is the perfect opportunity to where if you want to make a direct impact to the show and you want to influence what we do, join in Patreon and you have my undivided attention.
The truth is money talks. And if you give Dor money, he'll listen.
Yeah, and the Patreon email server still works.
There you go. All right, I guess that's all I have to say. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Dor, as always, I appreciate the opportunity to come and play Sancho Panza to your Don Quixote. And we like the fact that we have people who actually care about this show and listen. And the best thing you could do for us is to tell other people about the show. If you like it, there must be a reason for it. Go tell people who like you that you like the show and grow the audience. So you're our advertising campaign. You're our word of mouth. So go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of Door-to-Door Geek. So thanks everybody for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the Podnuts Network. The theme for my show is Everyday Tech for Everyday People. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.